Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8. We're going to read just the first 15 verses of this chapter. Second Corinthians 8, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness, as it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. We are continuing in our series on holiness in our lives. I suspect we'll probably have one more sermon in this series before moving on to something else. Tonight, we're going to talk about holiness and giving. Holiness and our money, our finances. And some might suggest that these are two things that really have nothing to do with each other. We understand holiness and prayer, holiness and Bible reading, holiness and worship. But holiness is one thing, and money is something else. It may be good to remember that Jesus, in his earthly ministry, spoke more about money than any other single topic. The Bible contains approximately 500 verses about prayer. It contains about 1,500 verses about finances. Our finances, our money, our giving is intimately tied with our view of personal holiness. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. I hope tonight to encourage you in this part of your walk with the Lord and perhaps even challenge you in this walk of holiness as well. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth to to encourage them in their giving. Apparently, there was a need in the churches of Jerusalem. And Paul is writing to encourage the Corinthian church in their giving for the Jerusalem church. But to do that, he encourages them by pointing out the example of the Macedonian churches. So he's going to use the Macedonian churches to encourage the Corinthian church to give to the Jerusalem churches. We read in verse 1. I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Paul tells them about the Macedonian churches and the generosity that they had. The Macedonian churches were not wealthy. These churches were small. These churches were struggling. These were the churches where if you were sending out a letter asking for help, you would say, let's just skip Macedonia. They have enough problems of their own. Small, struggling churches, but generous, with a desire to give to those in need. Their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. He says, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. They gave all that they could, and then they gave even more. This was the character of the churches in Macedonia, a character of generosity toward others. Generosity in their giving. In fact, look at verse 4. They gave beyond their own means of their own accord. Verse 4, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Begging us to be part of the relief effort. That was the character of their heart, their generosity. Deacons, wouldn't you love that? If you didn't have to wait to bring a need to the congregation, but they begged you for the opportunity to give. That's the character of generosity that Paul uses to encourage the Corinthian church. It is the same way he encourages us, not to simply wait for the need, but to beg earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And look at what he says in verse 5. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. They gave themselves first to the Lord. Giving is a matter of the heart. Giving is a matter of recognizing what God has done for us. They gave themselves to the Lord, and then by the will of God, they gave themselves to us. Concern about the things of the Lord. Concern about the church of the Lord. The broader church, how they could be involved in helping others. Their giving was not simply a matter of writing out a check, dropping it in the collection, or putting it in the mail. But they gave themselves to the Lord, and they gave themselves in service to others. The Macedonian churches were givers. And Paul uses them to encourage the Corinthian church. In fact, he says in verse 6, accordingly, like the Macedonians, accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. For as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Paul's encouragement to the church. You excel in so many things. You excel in so many ways. Excel here also. And I can without hesitation echo the words of the Apostle Paul as I consider God's blessings upon our congregation and the way that he has allowed us in love, in devotion, in humility to him to in many ways excel. This church excels in its desire for the pure preaching of the gospel. You will not allow stories and other things to come from the pulpit, but you demand to hear the story of Jesus Christ. You excel in your love for hearing the gospel again and again, in knowledge. We're getting ready to start up all of the educational programs in the next few weeks. Programs for our littlest ones, programs for those who are older, programs for men and for women, and all of these things. So many ways to excel in knowledge. And Paul says, excel in this act of grace as well. Excel in your giving. Demonstrate that heart of generosity, giving yourself, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, to his people. That's the call to holiness in our giving, a sense of generosity. And Paul's going to root that then in their genuineness. Verse 8, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is genuine. So he's saying, I am not commanding you to do this. I'm not saying you must do this. But by doing it, you will demonstrate the genuineness of your love for God and of your love for others. Whether we realize it or not, we often vote with our wallets, whether that be matters in society or matters in the church. We will support that which we love. And to demonstrate the genuineness of that love, use God's provision for you, use what God has given to you as an expression of the genuineness of your love for him. For he says in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. He roots this not in law. I am not giving you a command. But he roots this call to genuineness in the gospel, in what Christ has done for you. The one who knew the glories of the riches of heaven for all eternity and was willing to give up those riches to become poor on our behalf, to live among sinful men and women, to die on the cross, that in our poverty we might become rich through what he has done. Oh, Paul says, this is not a matter of law. This is not a command. This is your response of love and devotion, a genuine love to God because of what he has done for you in Jesus Christ. He has secured your salvation. And that same reminder goes out tonight, that in Christ we have all that we need. In Christ, he's done everything for us. He calls us to put our faith and hope and trust in him, and knowing what he has done, and to have that love express itself in our holiness and our giving as he provides for us. Paul goes on, verse 10, and in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now, finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. Apparently, the Corinthian church had heard of this need a year ago. And when they heard of this need, they had a readiness, a desire to give. And they started to take the collection. But somehow, the check never got put in the mail. They were ready. They had a desire, but never completed the work they started to do. And so Paul says, now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. It's been a year. Paul says, don't waver. Complete that readiness. Complete that desire. And bring the offering to the churches in Jerusalem. It is so easy for us to put off giving to the Lord. I don't think any of us here would say, I have no desire to give. We would all say, I have a desire. I have a willingness. I have a readiness to begin. But it's so easy to put it off. It's so easy to say, you know, next month I'm really going to start giving to God out of my love for Him. And then next month comes, and there's an unexpected bill, and the car needs new tires, and something else with the house. And we say, you know what, next month I'll really start giving. And then it's next year. We have a desire. We have a readiness. Paul says, bring it to completion. Bring it to completion. I would encourage you and perhaps even challenge you to start now. If you haven't been regularly giving to the church, I encourage you to start now. Now, I know we've taken the offering already, but I'm sure the deacons would be happy to take anything else you have to give. Or if you want, you can Venmo, Zelle, whatever these goofy things are, I don't know. I still write checks. But seriously, begin. We have the desire. We have the readiness. Bring it to completion. Paul says, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. We are to give, and the Macedonians gave, according to what they had. And Paul here reminds us of the principle of proportional giving. That biblical principle of giving in accord with how God has blessed us. Proportional giving. I remember this was years ago. I was talking with someone rather randomly. Wasn't even sure if the man was a believer. We started talking about church and things like that, and somehow the idea of offerings came up. And he said, oh yeah, offerings. There should be proportional giving. And I was kind of surprised. I didn't know. Proportional giving. I said, yeah, there should be proportional giving. He said, yep, and you know what? I give proportionally. The proportion I use is 3.5%. I said, 3.5%? Where'd you get that from? Oh, it just seemed right to me. God has given us a proportion to use. Proportional giving is a biblical principle, and God has told us what that proportion is. In the Old Testament, that proportion is called tithing. Tithing, giving to God 10% of all that he has given to us. We talked about this around the table at lunch today with our grandchildren, trying to make very concrete for them what that would look like. Kids, if someone was to give you $10, then to tithe on that, to proportionally give on that, you would take one of those $1 bills they gave you and you would put it in the offering. You get to keep nine. You get to keep nine. And God simply asks that you give a tithe, a tenth, back to him. Tithing is an Old Testament principle. It is never abrogated in the New Testament. There is no text which says you should stop tithing now. Jesus himself commends tithing as a good practice. But it seems so hard. Because when we start to tithe and we put that money in the offering plate, it seems so big when we look at what we're giving rather than seeing what God allows us to keep. They gave from what they had. I knew someone who used to say, you know, if only I had more money, I would tithe. If only I had more money, I would tithe. God doesn't ask us to tithe on what we don't have. He simply asks to tithe on what we do have. Some might say, you know, if I won the lottery, then I could tithe. He doesn't ask us to tithe on what we don't have, but simply on what we do, not as a matter of law. I'm not giving you a command, Paul says, but to express your love to God, your readiness to give, your desire to give, and bringing that to completion as God has given us the pattern in his word, holiness and giving. And then Paul concludes, verse 13, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, and that there may be fairness." And the Bible doesn't often use the category of fairness. He's not talking here about some sort of Christian socialism, where everyone has everything the same. In fact, he talks about those with more and those with less, abundance and need. What he's talking about when he talks about fairness is a general concern and care for others and a willingness to do what we can to meet their needs, a willingness to give that others might be provided for. Not that we're hurt by that, he says. Not that in your abundance you should, your abundance will supply their need. Not that you're burdened, but that out of love you may do this to help others. This morning we took an offering for the Benevolent Fund. The Benevolent Fund is that fund which is particularly used to help others either inside or outside the church. It's not what keeps the lights on. It's not what pays the pastor. It's not what buys the paper for the office. It's giving to help others. We regularly, once a month, take an offering for the Mission Fund. This, again, does not fund our local congregation. It is so others might be provided for. A sense of fairness, equity, if you will. A concern about others that they also be cared for by the church. God gives us many opportunities, many ways to bless others. And through the offerings that we bring, that is one of those ways. The deacons are very careful to look at the causes which are brought to us, to make sure that they are causes which will bring glory to God, which we can wholeheartedly support. We need to care for our local facility. We need to care for the general budget, but also be concerned that others be provided for as well. Holiness and giving. Our finances, our money, and our walk with God are intimately tied together because of the work of Jesus Christ. Because the one who was rich became poor on our behalf,
that we in our poverty might become rich. I want to encourage you, as I have throughout this series on holiness, whether it is prayer, whether it is Bible reading, whether it is worship, whether it is Lord's Day care, all of these things, that more and more we might grow closer to God, do what God has called us to. Again, not as a matter of law, not as a command, but as an expression of love and devotion to the God who has saved us. As you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, see that you excel also in this act of grace. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you and we praise you for your holy word, a word that instructs us in every part of our lives, a word that directs even our finances. Lord God, if we have been negligent, we pray that you would forgive us, you would wash us, you would cleanse us, that the readiness, the desire to be give might be matched with completion. For we know, O God, that you are the God who holds all shares of all the universe in your hand. You know our needs. You are able to provide for our needs, and we trust you. We trust you will do just that, that we might be able to share with others who are in need. Lord God, bless us, encourage us, help us to excel in this grace of giving. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.